Today I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We'll be preaching this morning from the book of Genesis. Let's read chapter 3, verses 14. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now in Genesis 3, God has given to us the first gospel message ever preached upon the earth. Jehovah himself, God himself is a preacher, and the whole human race, and Satan himself is God's audience. It's most worthy of our attention to look at Genesis chapter 3 and consider the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, we see the three R's of the gospel. The three R's: ruin, redemption, and regeneration. Someone has rightly said that every message preached should contain these three truths, these three R's. For how can a sinner seek salvation in Christ Jesus if he does not understand something of his sin, something of his depravity, something of his nature, something of his ruined condition in Adam? All died. Where else is there redemption from all sin revealed and found but in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes atonement for our soul. He obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. And how else is this salvation experienced but being made by God the Holy Spirit, being made new creatures in Christ, being quickened by the Spirit? The Apostle Paul wrote this, If any man be in Christ, and that's the work of God's grace, the work of the Holy Spirit, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, God help us this morning, and may God be our teacher this morning, to learn something of the gospel of God's grace as it is revealed in the Scripture. These three things, ruined in Adam, what happened in the garden, ruined in Adam, redemption in Christ Jesus, what happened at the cross, and regeneration, God making us new creatures, God quickening us by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now let's go back and look at these three. And we'll take our text from Genesis chapter 3. Ruined. What happened in the garden? Have you ever really considered this question? What happened in Adam? What happened? Well, in Adam we see that Adam fell, and in Adam all die. What we believe about what happened as a result of Adam's fall will determine what we believe about all of salvation. If we're wrong on the fall, if we're wrong in the garden, we'll be wrong in all our theology, all of our thinking. If we start out wrong, we'll end up wrong. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 3 and look at the Scriptures of God and see what happened in the garden. Now we know that the first thing we know is this. Adam was created in a state of perfection. God made the man. We read in Genesis 1:27, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In verse 31 of chapter 1 we read that God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. Adam was placed in a garden under the rule of God. Adam was created upright in perfection. Everything God does is good and right. God placed Adam under his rule, under his authority, and told him not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good, knowledge of good and evil. This tree was a visible reminder of God's authority over him. Remember in chapter 2, God said, The day ye eat, you may eat of every tree of the garden, but one. And the day ye eat of this tree, you'll die. Now the second thing we know, Adam willfully, deliberately and knowingly disobeyed God and partook of the tree. Eve ate of the fruit and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. Now, there were serious consequences involved in Adam's rebellion and sin against God. we see that judgment fell on Adam and his family immediately. Immediately upon the entrance of sin, spiritual death was manifested by several things. By his shame, he tried to hide himself from God. The second thing, he was afraid of God. At one time he had communion and fellowship with God, but now he runs and hides. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was full of shame, full of fear. These are the fruit of the fall, of Adam's guilt and judgment before God. Shame, fear, and guilt before God. Also, we see in Genesis 3 that judgment fell on the man and all his family. God cursed him and cursed the ground and said, in the sweat of thy face all the days of your life that you'll eat bread. Now, Adam didn't die physically that day, did he? We know that. But he certainly died. He died spiritually. God said, in the day you eat, you'll die. He was separated from life and communion and fellowship with God. That's what spiritual death is. Separation from God. We read Isaiah 59 verse 2 that our sin hath separated us from God. Now listen to me carefully. What does all this mean? How does all this have meaning to me? And what's the relationship of Adam to us? Now listen carefully. By God's own arrangement, Adam was a representative man. The theologian said he was a federal head of his race. When Adam stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. All men sinned in Adam. We read in Romans 5, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. All men everywhere were condemned in Adam. We read again in Romans 5, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All men died spiritually in Adam that day, at that time. Romans 5 again, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in whom all sin. Every member of the human family is born with a corrupt nature, a sinful heart, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, with a mind full of evil thoughts continually. God says this so plainly throughout the Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. All men are absolutely helpless to improve their standing before God. We have no ability, we have no more ability to obey the gospel than we do to obey the law of God. Unless God, by His sovereign grace, intervenes and rescues us from this state of ruin and total depravity and total ruin, we'll die just as we're born, without hope, without life, without God, without Christ in this world. What happened in Adam? Ruin, sin, depravity, separation from God. That's the state of all men everywhere. Now, the second thing we see in Genesis chapter 3, we see redemption. We see the gospel of God's grace, redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we're redeemed with the blood of Christ. We know we are redeemed with the seed of the woman, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ who bruised the serpent's head. That's what happened at Calvary. That's how redemption took place in Christ with His blood. Now, in all the Old Testament, there's hardly a place where the grace of God is displayed more clearly than in this chapter. Sin had barely done its awful work when God in grace appears on the scene. No sooner was Adam lost and hiding from God than a Savior was seeking him out. God came walking in the cool of the day, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God came and God said, Adam, where are you? You see, the Savior seeking the sinner. Now this clearly sets forth the way God saves sinners. Adam wasn't seeking God. Adam was running from God. Adam was hiding from God. It was the Savior who sought him out. And this clearly sets forth the pattern how God saves sinners. By His Word, the Word of God, the Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ does call out His sheep, His sheep to Himself. He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me." It is God seeking the sinner. It is God calling the sinner. Paul wrote this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek out His elect, His church, His bride, His chosen. And my friend, He cannot fail. Something else we know about this gospel of redemption and His grace. Grace doesn't ignore sin, but brings it to light and deals with it and confronts it, the sinner, with his sin. Just as God did with Adam that day. In verse 11 of Genesis 3, God said, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" My friend, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just gloss over our sin. It exposes our sin for what we are. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Grace proclaims the gospel how God can be just and justify the ungodly. That's what we see in verse 15 with the woman's seed bruising the serpent's head. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, His incarnation, Him coming into this world to conquer sin, to conquer Satan. And He did. He came once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He defeated Satan. He crushed the head. Crushed His power at Calvary. Yes, Satan and sin did bruise His heel, did bruise His humanity, but He crushed the power, principalities of sin. And He fulfilled the law. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And He won the victory over death. He's a victorious, conquering Savior. The woman's seed, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, crushed the serpent's head. That's what happened at Calvary. Sin was put away. All the sin of God's people was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He put them away. Now, the way of redemption is also set forth in verse 21, whereby His justice is honored and mercy is exercised. In verse 21, we read, "And unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." That's another picture of redemption. God shed innocent blood to cover sin, the sin of the guilty. And that's the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. God is infinitely, unchangeably holy, and sin can never be passed over without a full payment to satisfy His justice. We're justified freely by His grace, but never forget this, through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's redemption, and that's a picture of God's redemption. God took an innocent victim and sacrifice them to cover the guilty. That's what happened at Calvary. The third picture of the gospel we see in ruin, ruined in Adam. We see redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we see a picture of regeneration. "You hath He quickened who were dead." In verse 21, I believe we see again a picture of regeneration. God took coats of skin and clothe them. And that's what happens when God saves a sinner. He gives him a new heart, a new nature, and clothes him with the righteousness and blood of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 21, that God didn't simply make this covering available for them to exercise their free will and to cover themselves. No, He slew the animal. He provided the animal. He clothed them. Any sinner that is made righteous in Christ is not made so by chance, human effort, or merit, but by God's purpose and God's grace. It's God who saved us, and it's God who called us with a holy calling. God made coats of skin that day, and God covered them. God clothed them. And that's what happens when God saves a sinner. It's all by His purpose and all by His grace that He makes us new creatures in Christ. And it has to be that way. If you understand something of sin, you understand something of God's salvation. If you don't understand what happened in the garden, you'll never understand what happened at Calvary or what happens in regeneration. Because of our condition by nature, spiritually dead in sin, separated from God, enemies, aliens, and ignorant of God's salvation, ignorant of God, salvation, therefore, must be by the grace of God. A spiritually dead person cannot perform any function of spiritual life. He cannot believe. He can't believe God. Face the gift of God. He can't come to Christ. He said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him." He cannot repent of his sin. We only believe, repent, and trust Christ because He has given us and made us new creatures in Christ. Listen to this scripture, 1 John 5:1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, this shuts us up to two conclusions. The new birth is absolutely necessary. He said, except you're born again, you cannot see. Except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And secondly, it's obviously all a work of God's grace. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Again, we see that salvation is of the Lord. Where sin abounded, and it did in the garden, didn't it? Sin abounded. But also we see grace does much more abound in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this has been helpful for you today, and I would pray that you would think over these three things: ruin, redemption, and regeneration in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like a copy of this message, you write to me or call me, and I'll send it to you free of charge. You can call me at 631-9053 or write to me at Zebulun Baptist Church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.